Welcome to the No Lux Left Behind podcast, the world's first podcast dedicated solely to unboxing the allure of luxury handbags and the resale market.
We're Monica and Erica, luxury consignment entrepreneurs with over a decade of experience. Whether you're a shopper, a seller, or listening for the laughs, you'll always get unfiltered knowledge here. Let's get started.
Here we are. This is our last podcast episode for 2021.
I know, it's a big deal.
Insane.
It's been a really nice year.
It has. We decided that we're going to do an Ask Me Anything.
We get so many questions on Instagram, via email, all the time about the business, about our personal lives, about our families,
and what we like. And I do think it's important that we answer the questions because to us it's important. Season two, if you follow us at season two on our, you know, actual business, you know that we like to build true relationships with the people who are following us and purchasing from us and consigning with us.
For sure. And so, I think that a podcast episode with like every Ask Me Anything with the most frequently asked will be great.
All right. And so Erica and I are literally just like doing speed round. Like there's no real flow,
I would say, formality. To this.
We just took the most frequently asked ones, and they're in a spreadsheet right here, and we're just going to, like,
kick it. We're just going to kick it.
So we're both going to answer. Ready?
Yes,
I'm ready.
You want
to start?
What's your favorite handbag you own? Let's dive in.
Right now, my Goyard.
Oh, yeah, I know.
My Goyard tote. So I use it every single day.
Yeah.
And I have the perfect organizer in there, and it's just, I mean, it's durable. What's yours?
Mine.
Okay, this is Monica, by the way.
Yeah, this is Erica. Mine changes every single day. But not that I change. I'm not a person that changes her handbag every day. I literally wear my stuff into the ground.
Yeah.
But I just changed over to my Bottega Veneta medium intricato hobo in like a caramel color. And it's not a newer piece. It's an older piece. I got it secondhand. And I love it. I just think it's it says, you know, we like to say, I'm not new to this game. I think that's what it says. And it just goes with everything. There's no hardware on it. And I love that bag. And it fits everything I need.
Perfect. Okay, next question. What's your favorite part of everything you guys do at season two? What's your favorite part?
You know what? I mean, okay, if I'm coming from like a customer perspective, right, like people that are shopping with us, I think my favorite part is getting handbags into people's hands who are like, it's their first time in luxury or they've never bought a like big luxury handbag before. No matter what price point it is, like when there's a first, I love the firsts. I think that's my favorite part. And then on the consigner side, I really like the experience. Like when we get, like people work with us for the first time and they're like, oh my God, that sold in lightning speed.
Yeah.
And they have a good experience. And when we hear those messages and we see those messages, that makes me really happy that we're providing like a good experience for people.
Yeah. I concur with both of those. I think my favorite thing is going live.
Ooh.
I love going live. I love the interaction. I love that it's in real time. Especially now with our new live shopping experience. I think it's so much more efficient. And I just like to build that kind of like real connection in a live setting.
You know what's so interesting is like I would never think that live is my favorite thing. I know that it doesn't come across this way, but I actually have a lot of anxiety when we go live. This is Erica speaking now. I get a little, my palms get a little sweaty. You know what I mean?
Like,
I get a little bit nervous.
I think that's my favorite thing.
Every single time. But it is easy. I think a lot of people, this is like just a thought that I have, but this is not a question. But I think a lot of people are like, oh, like you guys are like naturals. I mean, I don't think that, but a lot, we do get that a lot.
Quite the compliment. Thank you.
That is a huge compliment. I don't feel that way at all for my, like, personally.
Erica, if we think back to when we first started, Erica did not want to do lives.
No.
And immediately, like within the first month or two, I was like, Erica, we have to go live. Yeah. We have to go live. We have to build a true human connection.
No, and I would push back. I'd be like, no, Monica, like I can't today. Like my hair, my makeup. Like I would give any excuse in the world to not go live.
And now it's like we go live and our hair's a mess. It's like 2 days old.
Yeah.
And yoga no makeup. Pants.
Just totally doing our fine. Best. Flying by the seat of our pants over here.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so I have a question for you. This is so rando, but we do get this randomly. I think this like says a lot about a person. But what's your favorite song?
Your favorite song ever? Favorite song ever or right now?
Both.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, mine's just one.
What?
But it's a Spanish song. So it's, I believe his name is Diego Torres. And it's called Color Esperanza.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I mean, it's just a jam. It's a feel good. It touches you and pulls
Color
your heartstrings.
Color Esperanza.
Yeah.
Just in case you want to look it up. It's a great song,
it's
even
a great
if you don't
song,
know the language.
If you can look up the lyrics and translate it, I hope that it does it justice. Because it's just a great song overall.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have, like, so many. Because it just depends on, like, you know, nothing to me is black and white.
Erica went to a freaking beach concert, and now she's obsessed with, who is it?
Oh, I'm obsessed with AJR. Yeah. AJR Brothers, I think they are. I saw them live. Didn't know who they were before. I just knew they had. I realized that, like, I listened to some of their songs on TikTok, right? Like,
they have
some TikTok viral songs. And then I went to this beach concert with our friend, Anne, and they were there. And they blew my mind. I was dead. And so, okay, so I'm loving them.
Uh-huh.
I would say my favorite Spanish song, like right now in this very moment, is Sun by, this is old school, if you know, you know.
Sun by Four.
Sun by Four.
Shush.
A Puro Dolor is amazing.
That
hold
is
on.
A throwback.
Hold on. DMX, y'all gonna make me lose my mind.
Yes.
Up in here. Love that song.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. Probably some Aaliyah songs.
Yeah.
You know, like
we
2000s.
Love the whole spectrum of music,
yes.
by the way. If anyone were to ever join our team, Alex also loves the spectrum of music.
Yeah.
So if you come into our office and join our team, you're going to have to love a spectrum of music.
Absolutely. And if we're on the boat, American Kids.
Yes.
Kenny Chesney.
Oh, that's a great boat song.
Y'all, we are just chameleons over here. I don't know. We're all kinds of messed up. But yeah, I have lots of favorite songs. Just depends on the mood. Depends on the application. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Next question is, what's something other people might think is silly that you find real joy in?
What's something that other people think...
might think is silly.
I need to think about it.
What?
Ah!
I know, right
okay,
off the bat.
Okay, you go.
Botox. And it's going to sound super vain, and trust me, like, I'm not trying to come across as vain. My forehead has been something that I have always kind of, like... struggled with because it's not a forehead, it's a five head.
It's
a five head.
You know what?
And I'm very expressive, right? With my forehead, five head.
Yeah, you can tell everything that Monica's thinking when she doesn't have Botox.
When I don't have Botox,
there is no filter on that forehead.
There is no. My face gives it away.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's silly.
Yep.
But I, from the initial little pinches to when it's settling to when it has settled,
yep.
It brings me joy.
Yeah. I don't think that this is silly, but man, like going on road trips, like I think in 20, no, it's not silly, but it's just the only
maybe
thing
maybe some
I can
people
think of.
Don't like road trips.
Maybe
though.
No, there are a lot of people that hate driving, but I think in 2020 and 2021, because we weren't really traveling, we started to do some road trips and literally just run. We're in South Florida, so. We can run down to the Keys. We can go up to the Panhandle. We can kind of move around. And Florida has so many beautiful places.
Yeah.
And doing that, like, with the family, albeit a little challenging with toddlers, when you get to where you're going and it's just so easy to throw. Like, we do last-minute road trips.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we decide on Friday morning that we're jumping in the car and we're going to the Keys.
I know. And then Erica is... infamous for allowing her phone to die.
Yeah.
So we literally don't know where she is in the world.
Hold on.
On weekends.
That's what brings me joy.
When your phone dies.
When my phone dies. Okay.
On weekends.
I only let my phone die on the weekends, like the battery die.
Yeah.
If I'm with the people that need to reach me or can
reach me.
Right? If I'm with my husband, my kids, if I'm with you, mom, dad, like the family.
Yeah.
I don't need anyone else to reach me on the weekends.
Right.
you know, unless the house is on fire.
God forbid.
So it actually does bring me joy, a little spark of joy that I think is unconscious.
And then everyone starts reaching her.
When it's like, just, what the heck? I know, when it just shuts off and it's like, oh, that stinks.
Not really.
And then it's just like, I can be present. I can be there. And I really like that feeling.
Next question.
Here the next question is, I want to be, and these are all really random. There's no like rhyme or reason order. To the order.
It's just the ask me anythings that we've gotten the most.
Yes. I want to be an entrepreneur, but how do you manage that with being moms?
That's a good question. You know, that's a hard question.
I don't.
No. And you know, we are always going to be honest. I think gone, or I would hope that gone are the days of that social media perfection where people are only showing you the perfect side of their lives. But you know what? I appreciate this question because it opens up the conversation. And I just want to make a point, right? No one has ever asked my husband how he manages his career
and
being a father.
Tell him.
And I think that it's just, it's a good conversation starter that it, and it's nobody's fault. It's our society and the way that it has generationally been passed down.
Yep.
Right? That the expectation is that the husband is going to be a provider and then the mother is going to take care of the kids.
Yeah.
Right? And can also be a provider. But the kids really fall on the mom's shoulders traditionally. Right?
Yeah.
So I think it's hard if you don't have a partner who is supportive.
Or just a support system.
Or a support system. Maybe you don't have a partner, but maybe you have a mom who can help or an aunt who can help.
Listen,
or
a cousin. A neighbor.
I think it's important to have some kind of support.
No, because listen, we were not designed to do this alone.
Never.
We were never designed to parent, to work, to do all of these things.
To do life alone. We were not meant to do it alone.
So I think if you can, listen, I'm a loner. I like to do things on my own, but the truth is that I know that I can't do this alone.
Yeah.
And so over the course of time, like, reach out to people, build your tribe, like, work with people, collaborate, and you don't have to do things alone. You don't have to carry the weight of everything because it's impossible.
It is impossible. And anyone that tells you, oh, yes, I've just found balance. Balance doesn't exist.
No.
It is not real.
It's a lie.
And it's not, it shouldn't be expected.
Right.
You know, because let me tell you something. Your kids don't need a perfect mother. Your kids need a happy mother.
Yeah.
Your kids need a content mother, a fulfilled mother. And you can't pour into your kids all the love and life that you really want to if you're empty, if you're running on E. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Absolutely.
So whether that's staying home, working inside the home, because I tried it, not for me.
Yeah, me too. I stayed home for a year and a half with Nico. You know, it's interesting because we go through seasons of life and we think that our life is going to look a certain way. Even if it doesn't have to be at any age. At 20 years old, I thought I was going to be a stay-at-home mom, going to yoga, bringing my, doing car lines.
That was her goal.
That was my goal. I wanted to be home. I wanted to cook. I wanted to decorate. That was my outlook on life.
Yeah.
And the moment that I got the opportunity to do that was the basically within 6 months, I was like, you know what? This is not for me. I need something else. I wanted something else. And I do still feel mom guilt.
Yeah, mom guilt's a real thing. Whether you stay home or whether you work outside the house, you're going to have mom guilt.
Yeah, it's
no matter what. It's real and it's natural. And, you know, we all have it.
We could do a podcast all mothering and entrepreneuring.
Let's do that. Maybe we start the new year with that podcast.
Absolutely.
Because I think that's important. Yeah. It's an important topic.
I think more practically speaking, though, like something that can be almost applied to your life is something that has worked for me, I think, in the last year and a half that we've built this business is trying. I don't do it all the time, but trying to compartmentalize your day. So when I wake up in the morning, I try to have 5 minutes just to clean stuff up on the phone, right? With customers, consigners, if there's like, if it's an emergency, I mean, there's never really an emergency with a handbag, but if there's something that needs to be addressed, I address it right away in the first 5 minutes. Then I know that I am mothering to get my kids out the door to school, right? And I try to focus on that and leave work on the side. Mm-hmm. Then when I get to the office, I push myself. We talk about this all the time, approaching everything at work with a spirit of excellence. Mm-hmm. And that to me means I'm not thinking about my kids. And God forbid a mother say that. But like the truth is that I
you
can't
have to be focused
think
on
about
what
my
focused
kids
on right
when
there.
I'm at work. Yeah. So Monica and I have both implemented systems in our lives where we know that when we are here at the office, our children are taken care of, mm-hmm. they are safe, mm-hmm. they're either at school or they're with grandma or they have something to do
yeah.
so that we can focus and apply our spirit of excellence
until
to work.
You give your kids a cell phone and they call you by accident right during before you go live or during a live because that will throw you off your game, trust me.
Yeah, so but, and then you get home and maybe it's just turning your phone on silent. Maybe mm-hmm. maybe turning off your phone is like too much and I
yeah.
get that.
Yeah.
But maybe it's like, listen, just put it on vibrate. So yeah. like if you hear it, you can answer it, but you're parenting.
Yeah.
And
it's
I
really
think that's how I approach
intentionally.
This whole thing.
Intentional. There yeah. and sometimes that can be exhausting.
Ugh, it's awful.
But you know what? If you want to be an entrepreneur, no matter what business you want to get into, but you're also a mother
mm-hmm.
Or a parent, because it just parenting, it's hard for my husband as well.
Yep.
You know, it's hard for our husbands.
It is.
Because they are very hands-on with our kids.
Yep.
You know, so just when you're, if you want to be an entrepreneur and you're also a parent, there is just throw the concept of balance, like true balance out the door.
Yeah.
It's
and
consistency
just
and
do your best
intentionality.
Every day. Yep.
You know, next. Sorry, that one was long-winded. We're going to have to do a whole podcast
really
on that
we
one.
We do.
Next. How many kids do you have?
Oh, yeah. I know. It
this
seems
is another
like,
one that we get very often.
I know. It seems like there's a lot of kids running
around. I feel
around.
Like, yeah.
But
right?
no, Monica has two.
Yeah, I have two. My boys are turning 10 and 11.
And I have two as well. My oldest is 5, going on 15, and my
and he's my, like a little man.
He is a little man, and my youngest is 1.5 years, so she is more or less the age of the business.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Okay, next question is: how long have you been married? You guys look so young.
Oh God. Okay, well, wait a minute. I feel like people think that we're younger than we are. Because of the funny TikToks and reels, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Well, yes. But I also think that we do have, like, cute, chubby little faces.
You know what I mean?
Like, when someone has a chubby little face, they look young. And I feel like I have a cute little chubby face.
You're killing me. You're killing me.
Okay. So I... this is Erica. I have been married for 10 years in April. So in April, we will have been married for 10... years. So, how old am I? I'm going to be 34 on Monday. I'm going to be 34 on Monday.
I thought you were going to be 35.
Am I going to be 35?
I thought you were going
to
be
God, we're going to have to do the calculation. after 30,
it's all downhill. You just don't know.
Whatever. So 34 or 35, I'm not sure.
What?
No, I think I'm going to be 34 because I got married at 24.
How old am I? I'm
you're
35.
I'm
going to be 36. Or I'm 36.
I think you're 35.
You know what? We're going to double check our birthdays.
Yeah, let's do that.
It's been, you know, we got a lot on our plates. But no.
How long have you been married?
I've been married for, I think, 12 years in April.
That's a long time. We got married young.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
We got
but
married pretty young.
We also, you know, like I met my husband when I was 18.
Well,
so
I met my husband at 21 and was married at 24.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
He's an old soul, and I think I'm, partly an old soul. So, you know,
yeah. What's a pet peeve of yours?
My pet peeve is when someone comes at me hard. No, it's true. It's true. Because I get really thrown off. This is telling in all parts of my life. My social life,
yeah.
My work life. When people come at me sideways.
Disrespectfully.
Yes.
Disrespectful.
Or when someone has something like rude to say. I had someone said the other day, didn't you guys submit yourself for Forbes?
Oof.
Or did you guys submit yourself?
Yeah.
But like, that's cool, but did you submit yourself?
Yeah. I mean,
and
listen.
And it took, like, listen.
That's rude.
It's so rude. Like, it's just so, it's like their insecurities, and I know that. Mm-hmm. But when people say rude things, just to like tear me down, or
yeah.
when people are like, just like, how much is this? Hi, how are you? I would love to help you.
Rude or disrespect, I think, are your pet peeves.
Those are my pet peeves because I don't feel like I would ever come at somebody
right.
so rudely. So I actually do get, like, I genuinely get surprised when people are rude to me. Because I'm like, I am freaking polite.
I know. She actually is.
Have some freaking couth.
Yeah.
It's crazy. That doesn't surprise me
because I'm a little more dry.
I know. Yeah, Monica's dry. But I get really offended, even for with other people. When I see people are rude to the waiter for
no
reason.
That's awful.
When people are jerks to the barista, it drives me to drink. I can't. I don't understand how people can be rude. Like, grant people a little bit of grace. I also don't like that. That speaks to, like, grace. I don't like when people jump to conclusions about other people's intentions because or judgment, like judge other people for certain things, because I just feel like if we all just granted each other a little extra grace, like you never ever know what people are walking through.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going on in their lives, what's going on in their business. I'm sorry if they were like, maybe I should be talking to myself, but if they said something that was offensive, maybe, you know what? I'm talking myself off the ledge here.
No, but I think it's true for you with the disrespect.
That really makes me
disrespect
mad.
Is a big pet peeve of Erica's.
Yes.
Mine is more because I have OCD.
And wait, but so, not because I feel entitled
no,
to
no,
people's
no.
respect.
But because you give respect. You're consistently respectful with other human beings. And I think that there is a level of respect that needs to be reciprocated.
Yeah. In every aspect of life. Everything. Work, fun, play, everything. I think people just need to be nicer. Is that just what it comes down to?
I think so.
It really, that's my pet peeve.
I think so.
It is
what
it is.
And I think since COVID, people have forgotten how to be kind.
Yeah. Sarcasm. Right? Other people's sarcasm with the intention to humiliate other people or, like backhanded comments or
so many pet peeves.
Things like just mean. I don't like, especially when it's, misdirected.
Right. My pet peeve is when things are supposed to be in a certain spot and they're not.
Oh,
I have OCD. And I just, like, if the pillow's supposed to be in the corner, the pillow's supposed to be in the corner.
You know what? That is the truth.
Why on earth
is the pillow... Hold on. Monica is staring at the sofa right now. And the pillow is, like, in fact, in the corner. And I guarantee you she put it there.
Yeah. And, like, my calculator, my things on my desk, they go in a certain way and in certain spaces. And when I arrive and they're not that way, it frustrates me.
You know what? I'm gonna give you one more pet peeve.
Oh goodness!
My husband is a saint.
No. Oh Lord, poor Mark.
My husband is a saint, and that man has brought me coffee to my bedside basically every day since the day I slept at his house in 2009. Mm-hmm. And when that coffee gets cold, and I've slept through
the
warmness
worst.
Of the coffee.
Yes, that is the worst.
Because we don't have a Keurig. We do like drip or French press or something like that. No, but he does it. I don't even know how to make coffee. He does it. He's done it for 10 years or 13 years at this point. Mm-hmm. When I've slept through the delicious warmness of that coffee and I have to put that thing in the microwave, that is so frustrating.
Oh my God.
There's so many questions.
There's so many.
I don't know if we're
going to
get through.
Hold on, let's see. Erica, okay, next question. What are your love languages? What's your love language?
Can I say all of them?
Yeah.
I think my first love language, and I think it's changed a little bit. If you're not familiar with love languages and what they are, there's a very short and concise book called The Five Love Languages.
They also have love languages of children, too, that Alex was reading.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to look that up. I think that's important. But my love language, I think, for a long time, and still is in a lot of ways, physical touch. Mm-hmm. I really, like, I need to feel the warmth of a human.
I am the anti-physical touch.
I know, Monica's not. Like, I hug her and she cringes.
Don't touch me.
I'm touching her leg.
Stop. Oh my God.
My love language I have two, but the first one is acts of service
and the second is gifts, but not like expensive gifts. Okay. I'm not looking for you to take me to Chanel on a shopping spree. You know, little things like when Alex, for example, brings us breakfast because she made some extra things of avocado toast with an egg on it.
She's the bomb.
That's amazing. She's I appreciate that so much. That really like fills my tank.
Yeah.
Next.
Hold on. Next question. I want to do this one. What did you guys study? College degrees in business?
Not at all.
Nope. No, ma'am.
Not at all. So this is Monica. I went to a very small private school in Massachusetts, mm-hmm. in Springfield. I went to school with every intention of being the mini version of my father. I wanted to be a female on television. So my degree is actually in communications. Broadcast journalism.
You need to provide context because we do get this question a lot. Who's your dad?
Oh my God. That's one of the questions.
I know. I just saw it.
Where is that? who's our dad? If you are familiar with soccer, he's the guy that yells goal.
Yeah.
That's our dad.
Yeah. Luis Tapia. That's him.
Yeah. And,
you know, that sounds very mobby, but he's not.
No. And you remember growing up, people would be like, Tapia, like the, from Bad Boys.
Yeah.
And then people would associate us with like Bad Boys.
Yeah. That's our maiden name is Tapia. And so people always, so we grew up in Connecticut. Okay.
In small
and
town.
That
in
gives you
town.
Like, if you know in anything about
town.
Connecticut.
Well, in a small town. It depends on where you live.
So when they hear Tapia, it's like, huh?
I know. Back then, now I would hope it's a little more progressed.
Yeah. For sure.
But,
That's our dad. Monica's degree is in communication.
Yeah, broadcast journalism. I was planning on being like a female.
But you can see that from the way you're such a professional on air. Like on air.
On air.
Live, whatever it's called.
Okay, wait. What's your degree in?
Okay, so I went to the University of Miami, which is how we ended up in Florida. And I had a double major in public relations and political science.
Oh, that's right. That's why you're so good at customer service.
Well, yeah. I think that's part of it. I like to my intention when I was studying was that I wanted to be a political campaign manager. So that was like what I was going to go to law school, but I wasn't going to practice law. So that's what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, I do think that I still have an interest in politics. And PR has really, it's for me, has set the landscape for like how we approach our business, right? Everything to me is like storytelling. How do we like talk to people and what do we want them to know? Like that's kind of where my strong suit is, I think.
Yeah.
So it wasn't business, but there were aspects of it that I think have helped.
Yeah.
And honestly, I loved my college experience. It was really fun, honestly. Yeah, I went to school in Miami, so
I would go back to college in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Here, quick, what's your nickname? Do you have a nickname? Do you have any nicknames? Berry? So,
Mom calls us Berry.
Berry.
My nephews, when they were little, called me Aka.
Aka.
My friends went from my maiden name. My friends in high school, they called me Tap Tap or E Tap.
Yeah, M Tap, E Tap.
Yeah.
oh my God, I just.
But
like,
no, that's all. That's all I got.
Yeah. Mine is like Moni.
Yeah, Moni.
Moni or Moni.
Yeah,
that's it. What else?
Favorite cocktails.
Ooh,
or
that's
are
a fun
you
one.
Or are you winos?
Okay, I think I winoed myself out.
When?
During COVID.
Oh, God.
So I used to really enjoy wine. Don't so much anymore. But my cocktail of choice, like if we're going out,
mm-hmm.
is there's two, right?
There's two.
So
Tell
if we're
them.
At dinner,
yeah.
if we're sitting at dinner, it's an extra dirty, like filthy martini with vodka, with blue cheese stuffed olives and ice crystals on top. That is.
Let me tell you something. I have obviously been to dinner with Monica 100 million times, and that is exactly how she orders it.
Well, you know.
She literally tells the waiter, whoever, the bartender, filthy.
Well, yeah.
Oh, my God.
What? and then if they don't have blue cheese stuffed olives, then I'm like, no, now you've just ruined it. So now we're going to do a vodka soda with lime.
So I'm a situational everything. I'm a situational dresser. I'm a situational drinker. So most of the time, 90% of the time, I am drinking tequila soda with three limes. That has been my beverage of choice for years. Why? Because tequila, A, doesn't give me a hangover, and B, it doesn't make me anxious. Mm-hmm. Like, basically all other alcohols give me anxiety, like, for the next 3 days.
Yeah.
And hangovers next 3 days. So tequila keeps me, like, even keel, and I also just like the way that it tastes. Mm-hmm. If I'm at dinner, like a nice dinner, I like a good red wine. I particularly enjoy Belle Gloss right now, which is like what we get if we're like drinking a glass of wine at home. And honestly, you know, situational. If I am at a tailgate or I am on the boat, or I am at a country music concert, I am throwing back beer. And I do not...
True, she does not discriminate.
I don't discriminate. No. You know what? I like to be part of the crowd.
It's okay, the most frequently asked question that we get is, what's your background? Mm-hmm. What's your heritage? Yep. What's your culture? And, you know, most people will say, I'm assuming you're Latinas. Mm-hmm. So go for it, Erica.
Okay. So we have all, like, obviously those are all different things, nationality, heritage, culture. So I'm going to address, like, kind of how I identify, because I think we probably identify a little bit differently, but pretty close.
Go. Okay. Let's see.
So our mom is from Colombia, and she came to the United States when she was 13 or 14.
Yeah.
My dad.
Straight to Manchester, Connecticut.
Yeah, to Manchester, Manch. And then my dad is from Chile, Santiago de Chile, and he came here as a political refugee.
When he was like 16,
Like 15 or 16. 16. Yeah. And so
to Bridgeport, Connecticut.
To Connecticut.
Yeah.
So of all places, so random. So they met. There obviously wasn't like a huge Latino community in that area. So that's how they met.
Yeah.
They met at a soccer game. And they married. And so Monica and I were born in Connecticut. We come from a Latino household, a Latino culture.
We grew up speaking Spanish at home.
Mm-hmm. But our friends didn't speak Spanish.
Right. Most of them didn't.
Most of them didn't. So we grew up in probably a predominantly white upbringing and predominantly white neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny, people, I think we confuse people because of the way that we speak.
Yes.
And they're
people,
like,
well, because people like to put labels and put you in boxes.
For
right?
sure.
And I think Erica and I have always referred to ourselves as unicorns because you can't really put us in a box.
Yeah. You like, people don't know what to do with me.
And it was almost always like, growing up, it was almost always like we were never Latina enough for the Latinas and we were never, you know, Americanized enough for our other group of friends.
Yes.
And so it was just kind of like we were in this in between. And I think our parents did a good job of always like reiterating to us that it was a cool thing to be in the in between.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So I, you know, we are incredibly proud to have been born in the United States. We will fly that American flag on the boat when we go out.
Sure do.
And we're also incredibly proud of where our parents are from and their stories and their struggles to get to where they are.
The culture that they instilled in us.
Yeah.
Like we're so family oriented. I'm so grateful that we're so close.
Yeah.
And that we like to be together.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's such a blessing. So,
yeah.
So that's our background.
That's like basically who we are. And, you know, guys, thank you so much for always submitting so many awesome questions during the Ask Me Anythings over on IG. If you don't follow us,
we have more.
I know.
All right. I guess we can add to this.
I think we should maybe start the new year with another one.
Okay. We'll do one. Oh, we'll do one when we're on vacation.
Oh, we could do that.
All right. We have so many more. We can't wait to share them with you.
Yes.
Thank you for being here and getting to know us.
Yeah. And if you don't follow us over on IG, make sure that you do at @season2consign. And guys, there are very exciting things coming in 2022.
Oh my gosh. I feel like we've been saying that forever.
I know, but it's almost here.
It's almost here.
Have a safe and happy and healthy holiday season, guys. And we will record another podcast in the new year.
Whoop whoop.
Guys, if you're not already following us, we are at season2consign on all platforms, including TikTok and Instagram. We drop knowledge and have fun on all of them.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, please consider rating it and sharing it with your friends. We have so much more to share with you. Thank you for being here, and don't forget to be fearlessly authentic.